Welcome to another edition of Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian. I'm Bob Papa in the Legacy Club at MetLife Stadium. When you think about the career of Ernie Accorsi, not only did he serve as general manager of the New York Giants, but it's a career that started on the other side of the ledger, the media side of things. It's been a fascinating journey for one of the Giants members of the Ring of Honor. Ernie, how do you go from PR director to football general manager? That's where you got your start in Baltimore as a PR guy.
I started off as a sports writer, right? I wrote to 9 million papers, and I got one offer, Charlotte News. I graduated from Wake Forest. And I was there 6 months and got drafted into the Army. And when I came out, I had a couple of newspaper jobs, but I got the SID job at St. Joe's, and that was my first taste of administrative work and sports, and I loved it. And the real break I got was when I went to Penn State, attached to the football program in administration, when they went 22-0 in two Orange Bowls. And at that point, being around Joe Paterno was like spreading stardust to everybody around him. And Penn State was hot, very popular, just emerging as a power and a class organization. And it's just at the right time. And I got an offer from the Colts. And the Colts job was always one that I always wanted because it was the team I grew up with. I adopted the Colts very early because they used to play a preseason game actually in Hershey, Pennsylvania, which is my hometown. But I actually saw Unitas throw his first pass in a Colt uniform in a preseason game in 1956, and I saw him throw his last pass because I was working for the Colts at the time. And it was kind of a magical organization. They had gone 16 years without a losing season. My first day at work, I'm in the office, and John Unitas walks in. I walk out and I see him. I'm sort of startled. And he looks at me and says, "Hi, I'm Johnny Unitas." I said, "John, I don't need a program to find out who you are." And I introduced myself. But I think there were six people in our front office eventually became general managers, including George Young. And George and I used to eat together almost every night at a place called the Rustler Steakhouse for $1.99 steaks. We were both making $14,000. He was a scout. I was a PR director. But there were only four or five people in the front office, so everybody scouted. The ticket manager scouted, the equipment manager scouted. We all learned to scout.
Accorsi would be promoted to general manager of the Colts in 1982. But he would part ways with the team the following season after Baltimore traded John Elway, the first overall pick in the 1983 draft, to the Denver Broncos.
I was a young general manager, and I felt in my heart, number one, I owe it to this franchise to pick the best player. He's the best player. I'm not going to sell this franchise down the river, and I don't care how much abuse I'm going to take. When the owner traded him, then I knew I had to leave because I felt there's no commitment to win championships.
In 1985, of course, he took over as general manager for the Cleveland Browns, who were coached at that time by Marty Schottenheimer. Ernie's first matter of business was drafting the Miami Hurricanes national champion quarterback, Bernie Kosar, who would go on to lead the Browns to five straight playoff appearances and three AFC championship games.
We had to get a quarterback, and I came to the conclusion early, it's the most important position in sports. I felt you're never going to be better than a quarterback. If the quarterback's average, I don't care how many great players you have, you will cap out at average. If the quarterback's great, you have to surround him with players, but you have a chance to be great. Kosar put us ahead in all those championship games. In the first one, he put us ahead with 5 minutes to go, and our defense couldn't hold because we couldn't get on the passer.
The throw, touchdown! John Elway has just thrown the touchdown to Mark Jackson, 98.5-yard drive.
It was unfortunate because Kosar could have been to two or three Super Bowls. He played well enough to be in two or three Super Bowls.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Ernie Accorsi, presented by New York Presbyterian. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles. Ernie Accorsi, presented by New York Presbyterian. After 8 years with the Cleveland Browns, Ernie Accorsi would join the Giants in 1994 as an assistant to his old friend, General Manager George Young.
George and I were so close, we would talk on the phone three, four nights a week. And we were together in Baltimore. We stayed close. He was probably my best friend in football. He offered me peanuts at first. I had to battle him for a few more dollars because I'm coming to New York. Actually, it was the most fortunate thing I ever did in my life.
With his protege by his side, Young and Accorsi would build the Giants back into playoff contenders. And in 1997, Big Blue won the NFC East divisional crown with a memorable victory at Giants Stadium.
I remember that game so well because we beat the Redskins, and he says, this game was important to me in more ways than one. And he walked out the tunnel and went out and sat on the bench. George was not a man of few words and not demonstrative, but when he was emotional about something, I mean, you felt it. It was really a touching moment.
George Young resigned at season's end, handing over the reins to his longtime assistant.
To be able to succeed him was, first of all, on paper, you don't want to succeed a guy like George Young, right?
Right.
I mean, it's like succeeding DiMaggio. But the emotional part about it, and I remember when he introduced me, he said, Ernie and I started together, which we did. I mean, George and I were close.
Of course, his first big move as the new general manager of the Giants came in 1999 when he acquired the controversial Kerry Collins.
You knew the quarterback situation.
Right.
Right. So it was Dave Brown, then it was Danny Cannell. Kent Graham's the guy that threw the pass to Toomer in 98.
Right.
Like most franchises, you're searching for next. Sims is gone. He's your Super Bowl-winning quarterback. You know the importance of the quarterback. The Penn State ties, too. Everything with you is kind of intertwined, isn't it? What gave you the conviction to make the move for Kerry Collins, and how hard was it selling it?
I had complete support on Kerry Collins and backing, and Wellington loved Kerry. Where the Penn State connection came in, it's because the head coach that coached him is the same guy I worked for. I mean, I obviously learned everything that I ever learned in the beginning of my football career from Joe Paterno. And Paterno swore by the guy. He said he got off the track. He got money in his pocket. He was on his own for the first time, blah, blah, blah. Now, I grew up in Hershey. He grew up in Lebanon, which was 12 miles away. I mean, I knew all the high school coaches. I mean, he ate pizza at the same place I ate pizza. I mean, he's much younger than me, but he couldn't hide from me. And we had to get a quarterback with talent who we had a chance to win with. We had to. I mean, you can't compete without him. It's just not going to happen. So I had a fateful meeting with him, and I said, you will find out that the one pro football franchise that'll be the closest to the environment that you had in college was here. This will give you the best chance of success. And I will say this, he never slipped up. He did a great job for us, and he became a good teammate pretty quick. He won over the locker room.
All right. Yeah, thanks.
Did you get the message from Joe?
I did.
Yeah,
I did.
In fact, he may come.
Oh, great.
I invited him to the meeting.
Great, great. That's great.
Just the fact that they gave me the opportunity that they gave me, which at that time wasn't a very popular decision, was something that I was very appreciative of. And Ernie Accorsi, Jim Fossil, they saw something in me that they believed in and wanted to be a part of what they were doing. And it meant a lot to me. It still means a lot to me to this day.
With Accorsi's guidance, Collins' career would be revived in New York. And in 2000, he threw for over 3,600 yards and 22 touchdowns, leading the Giants to their first NFC championship in 10 years, where he put on an aerial assault versus the Vikings, throwing 5 touchdowns.
Collins back, steps up over the middle, and he's got a man. It's Hilliard to the 5 touchdowns! 46 yards down the left side! I want to be like Ike, he's got 6! Collins takes the snap, fakes the handoff, looking, throwing down the right side, and he's got Camilla! Touchdown! Oh, what a play by Collins! The final score, the Giants 41, the Vikings nothing. Super Bowl, here we come.
Great job, thank you. Unbelievable. Thanks for everything. Hey, put it on your shoulder, you get it right on through there.
Yeah, he was good enough to get us out of the doldrums. I mean, we got to the Super Bowl with him.
He has one of the greatest win in New York Giants history in Giants Stadium, in the actual stadium, was the 41-0 win over the Minnesota Vikings. I don't think anyone would dispute that. That was a tremendously sweet win for Wellington Mara, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. That was a big day for him, for Wellington.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Ernie Accorsi, presented by New York Presbyterian. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles. Ernie Accorsi, presented by New York Presbyterian. After losing Super Bowl 35 in Tampa to the Baltimore Ravens in the finale of the 2000 season, Ernie Accorsi would look to rebuild the Giants into a stronger championship contender.
That team comes up a little bit short. The draft, which has always been the lifeline of the franchise, even though it wasn't a great team, they still were in the Super Bowl.
Right.
But a lot of the draft picks were really starting to show. We talked about Amani Toomer with the catch in 98. Tiki at this point is really coming into his own. Seahorn has overcome his injuries. Keith Hamilton is an anchor. Obviously, Strahan, players of that ilk. Did you feel like even coming off that things were on the uptick as a franchise?
Yeah, we didn't do a great job of building off of that. I probably could have done a better job building off that 2000 year, but we lost some games we should have never lost. And then the worst example was the San Francisco playoff game in 2002. That should have never happened in a million years. I remember when the league admitted after the game that it was a terrible call and it was an erroneous call in the end zone on the botched field goal attempt. And when the media said to me, "How do you feel now that they've admitted that they've..." I said, "When you blow a lead like that, you don't blame the officials."
Right.
Okay? You don't deserve to win a game when you blow a lead like that. You don't complain about officiating. I mean, that should have never happened in a million years.
After another subpar season in 2003, it was clear that a change was in order for Big Blue. Jim Fossil would be relieved of his coaching duties, and in January of 2004, Tom Coughlin was named as the 16th head coach of the New York Football Giants.
There were two criteria that our head coach had to meet when we were listing our prospects. One was, is he a teacher?
Vaughn, don't stand straight up in the air at a vertical set. Stay low.
I still think it's a teaching business because one of your jobs is to elevate the play of players and make them better, and you do that by teaching them.
You put it on this hip for him, he turns and gets two more yards out of that.
The other thing is we wanted somebody who had been a proven winner in his background. And Tom, as an assistant here, won a Super Bowl.
My heart's racing because this is where I always wanted to be. And I had never been more happy than I had when I was an assistant here. And now to have the opportunity to come back and interview with John Mara and Ernie Accorsi for the head coaching job.
He sits down and he's got a legal pad and I'm ready to start questioning him. I've got a formula that I'm going to ask. He says, "Can I speak first?" It's not the 12-minute Gettysburg Address, I'll tell you that. It's like an endless documentary. So then we interview. We have an extensive interview, just John and I. And he said, "What do you think?" I said, "He double bogeyed the first two holes, but he ended up shooting a 66.
Coach Coughlin wasn't the only addition to Big Blue that offseason. The Giants held the fourth overall pick in the 2004 NFL Draft. And Ernie Accorsi had his eyes set on getting a young gunslinger out of Ole Miss by the name of Eli Manning.
I felt that we had to go to the next level. We had to get a quarterback that we thought we had to reach for greatness. But I thought at four, my information was that we're going to get Roethlisberger. And that was my second choice. And there wasn't much to choose between the two of them. They were awful close.
As fate would have it, Accorsi ended up pulling off a last-minute trade with San Diego that brought Manning to New York.
It was a great feeling to be a New York Giant, to see Coach Coughlin, and then to walk down the stairs and onto the field and having those fans cheering and yelling and screaming your name. It's a great feeling.
Eli was named the Giants starter midway through his rookie year, but it wasn't until the final game of the regular season against the Cowboys where everyone saw a glimpse of what the future had in store for Big Blue. With Dallas leading 24-21 late in the fourth quarter, the Giants' young quarterback would lead the rally.
Steps up, checks off for Barber underneath, up to the 40, 45 midfield, into Cowboy territory and tackled at the 44-yard line.
The Giants needed a touchdown to win the game, and they would have to march 66 yards to get it.
16 seconds to go. Manning calling signal. First and goal at the 3. Manning takes the snap, drops back, gives for Barber, running left, touchdown Giants! Barber from 3 yards out with 11 seconds to go! The losing streak is over and the Giants end 2004 on a winning note. More importantly, Eli Manning comes of age with a game-winning drive in the final minute 30 and the Giants win it 28-24.
Eli, your first NFL win, what's that feel like?
It's just special. That's the way we did it. Had a two-minute drive at the end, and Tiki, we handed the ball off to him, hit on the screen. It's pretty much his drive the whole way down, but it's just a great feeling to get that first win.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Ernie Accorsi, presented by New York Presbyterian. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles. Ernie Accorsi, presented by New York Presbyterian.
to leave that executive suite and come down and watch it from the field, he probably gets a better feel for the players and, you know, just the atmosphere of the game. The reason we have the players we have the team that we've had, and it's been because of Ernie.
After hiring new head coach Tom Coughlin in 2004 and finding Big Blue's next franchise quarterback in Eli Manning, general manager Ernie Accorsi would continue to build the Giants into a winner with wise utilization of the draft and key free agent signings.
So now you get the quarterback. You're drafting, though, in these years. You've already got OC. Snead comes along. Justin Tuck comes along. I mean, really the cornerstone of that Super Bowl team. But also you dabbed into free agency. Antonio Pierce you brought in. Kareem McKenzie, one of the great steals, by the way, of all time.
Right.
And you had to make some tough decisions. The whole Plaxico Burress contract stare down.
First of all, I've always believed that once you get pieces together, you've got to get a big receiver who can make errant throws into successful plays to get the quarterback out of trouble. We didn't have anybody like that. That was a huge pickup for us. The draft in 05, we got Corey Webster, Justin Tuck, Brandon Jacobs. So it's amazing how that draft turned out to be a pivotal draft for us where we get three players.
05, you make the playoffs. Very trying year. Both owners pass. The fabric of the franchise, both in Mr. Mara and Mr. Tisch pass. What was that like for you as the general manager and as the leader?
It was so hard because the relationship between these two people who were so different, came from such different backgrounds, had such different heritage in football. But Bob and Will had a wonderful relationship. And to see both of them be sick like that, it was so sad to watch. This is one of the first inclinations I got that Mr. Mara was pretty ill. He came in to me and he said, you know, you've told John you want to retire at the end of this year. And this was early in the season. He said, you know, I'm not really well. He said, I'd really like you to stay. If something happens to me, I'd really like you to stay one more year if you could. Of course, that was good enough for me. I would have done anything he asked.
How important was Coughlin's leadership during that tough time to really lead that locker room with all these losses?
He was great. And, you know, the thing about him is his focus. The one thing about Tom Coughlin, he never lost his focus. He held the team together, and we had a terrific year.
Under the leadership of Ernie Accorsi and head coach Tom Coughlin, Big Blue made the playoffs again in 2006. But after 13 years in the Giants front office, Accorsi would resign at season's end, and longtime player personnel executive Jerry Reese was appointed as the new general manager.
Why did you walk away when there's so much young talent there that was close?
Bob, I couldn't take the games anymore. I just couldn't. I mean, that tunnel, when I stand in the tunnel, was not an act. I could not sit still anymore. When I went down to the locker room to say goodbye to the team, I told them, there's no team I've ever been with that I'm prouder of than this team. I said, there's a championship in this room. Those are the last words I said.
And sure enough, the following year, after the Giants' historic win over the Packers at Lambeau Field in the 2007 NFC Championship game, Accorsi's phone would ring.
When the game ended, John Mara called me from the locker room and said, I'm not taking no for an answer. You're coming to the Super Bowl. Because I wasn't going to go to the Super Bowl. But I did, and I took my whole family, and I got to watch the game. When Vili got the ball, what was it, the 18-yard line or 17-yard line? I said, if he is what we thought he was going to be, he does it right now. And he did.
Takes the snap, looks left, lobs it left, first is wide open, touchdown Giants in the left corner of the end zone. And that is it. The New York Giants have knocked off the New England Patriots, and the Giants, with the most improbable win in recent memory, have won Super Bowl 42.
Ernie Accorsi will always be remembered as the architect of that Giants team that won Super Bowl 42, and he looks back fondly on his time with the Big Blue.
I was with two great organizations before I came in. The Baltimore Colts that I was with originally, with Carol Roseman, Art Modell, the Cleveland Browns, historic franchises. I think this is the best franchise in sports. When you think about the family that owns this team, owned it since 1925, the Tisch family comes in. You don't have partnerships like this in sports. It doesn't happen. The way that Bob Tisch and Wellington got along, the way John Tisch and Stephen Tisch got along with John Merritt. Everything they do, they try to do the right way. And they win.
In November of 2016, Big Blue would pay tribute to Ernie by inducting him into the Giants Ring of Honor.
Now, Giants fans, let's give a big welcome back to former general manager Ernie Accorsi.
To be up there with names like Frank Gifford and Lawrence Taylor, to think I'd ever be immortalized in a stadium that they play in, personally means a lot to me.
I want to thank the good Lord for making me a New York Giant. Thank you.
One of the really cool things about Ernie Accorsi was the way he deflected any kind of praise and looked to share it with everybody else, never really wanting the spotlight. But one thing is for certain, Ernie left his mark on this franchise and helped build a championship team in 2007. That wraps it up for this edition of Giants Chronicles. I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for joining us from the Legacy Club at MetLife Stadium. This segment is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com.